This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
The Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray.
And the 2019 Offensive Rookie of the Year is Kyler Murray.
This year's most valuable player, Lamar Jackson.
Jackson takes it himself. Look at him dart back and forth. Oh, he broke his ankles. He is Houdini.
Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
Chiefs are Super Bowl champions here in Miami.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Established Fast Podcast presented by Clutch Points. I am your host, Blake Lovell. With me is my co-host, Dylan Reagan. And yes, I sound a little bit different recording from a different location today. That sounds very secretive, doesn't it? It's not really a secretive location. It's just not in my usual office to be able to record this. But so that's why maybe I sound a bit more echoey. And as Dylan and I have talked about, you may also hear some dogs in the background, as I know Dylan has a dog where he's at right now. I have multiple dogs, and they enjoy playing with each other. So this could be the Puppy Bowl episode of the podcast here, Dylan. So if anyone needs some excitement, I guess we can talk about the results of the Puppy Bowl on the next episode.
Yeah, I'll have to look those back up. I did watch that briefly instead of some of the pregame shows before the actual Super Bowl this year. So I'd have to go back to the tape to really do some more further analysis. But yeah, no, I have my dog here, but he's pretty quiet usually, so we should be fine. Most you're going to hear is a little grumble from him, but otherwise he's sat here a couple times now while we've been recording during this stay-at-home situation we have on our hands.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, we've got dogs running around everywhere. We've got NFL signings all over the place. It is a crazy time in the NFL and the puppy world. But Dylan, we're mostly going to focus on the NFL world because that's what we do here on the podcast. And the biggest story, I think, you know, since the last time we recorded this podcast has undoubtedly been Cam Newton being released by the Panthers. I don't think it's something that surprises. We knew it was ultimately probably going to happen when the rumors continued to circulate that they just were not able to trade him. Ultimately, that's what happened. Cam Newton released because the Panthers seemingly had about 15 quarterbacks on their roster. They released Cam Newton. They trade Kyle Allen to the Redskins. And that makes it pretty clear that it is Teddy Bridgewater's team there in Carolina, although they did sign P.J. Walker, the XFL standout. Cam Newton getting released, not a big surprise, and now it's just a matter of trying to figure out maybe where he lands next.
Yeah, I thought, you know, if he was going to get released, I thought there's going to be something that came out about his physical still having issues. But we just had our article, about how he had a physical, everything foot-wise, shoulder-wise came out clean with an independent doctor as well as the Panthers. So, I mean, from that point of view, I'm surprised that someone didn't take a flyer on him in a trade. Now they can sign him, obviously, without having to give anything up. But I look at some of the other guys, I mean, even the Nick Foles trade for the Bears. If I'm the Bears, I don't know how. I mean, I know Nick Foles won a Super Bowl, and we saw Jalen Mills kind of come back on Twitter at someone that was suggesting this exact thing about how Cam could have been a better option for Chicago than Foles. Yes, you know, Foles had that incredible run and had the poise in the playoffs in those two runs of the Eagles looked pretty damn good. But I mean, it's Cam Newton. This is a guy that won an MVP. He's still not that old. I mean, he's not going to probably be able to do all the things he did physically earlier in his career. But when he's healthy, he's still, you know, a top tier quarterback, still at least far above average, in my opinion. So while for all the issues with the shoulder, I get that that's probably still probably the concern that is keeping teams from taking a chance. But there's a lot of franchises that don't have the most certain quarterback situations. I don't understand why you don't just have a take him on for even a year. I mean, even if you have an established quarterback, just having that kind of backup option, that guy in the QB room isn't a bad thing. So if you have money to spend, even if you're not planning to necessarily play Cam, and I'm sure that will be incorporated into where he eventually does sign, if he's going to be the projected starter or not. But he could also do the same kind of thing where he's looking more ahead and, you know, putting himself in a good situation with a good team. I know that most people are talking about is one that makes sense, just given the fact they need a quarterback, they have a really good team around them, is the New England Patriots. But we had our, Jeff Howell had a tweet about his source saying that the Patriots are not interested in Cam at this time. That's surprising to me. Maybe they are committed to moving forward with this season kind of being a more of a transition year, and adding Cam would just kind of mix that up in terms of making them a little more competitive maybe than they want to be. I'm not really sure about that, but I just don't know how a team like the Patriots otherwise wouldn't want a guy like Cam at this point.
Yeah, like we said, I mean, it's if they go forward with what they have right now, I mean, we mentioned it. I mean, the division is still not to the point to where it's just like they can go out and they're just going to automatically be the worst team in the division. But, I mean, they still, you know, you've got to have a quarterback. And right now, they don't have a proven starter at this point in his career with any of the guys that they have on the roster. And so it would make sense. And I know one of our writers at Clutch Points did an article on why it makes sense for the Patriots to do that. And you mentioned the Bears. I think there was the report that the Bears and the Chargers were the two teams specifically that the Panthers are trying to trade with. Nothing came with that. However, you know, I think probably more so the Chargers and the Bears at this point could pick Cam Newton up, I think, in free agency now. Maybe there's a fit there. I don't know, but it would seem like that may be something for Anthony Lynn. As we said, the reason why seemingly they moved on from Phillip Rivers was because Anthony Lynn, you know, seemed to favor a more mobile type of quarterback. That's why Tyrod Taylor is considered the starter at this point. Now, you know, how mobile is Cam at this point in his career, we don't know, but I mean, I guess you could see that making sense if the Chargers made a move there, although I think we all seem to pretty much agree that the Chargers' path could be just the quarterback in the draft. But and maybe they have some options, but otherwise, I mean, really, you know, you look around everywhere else, it's like where else makes the most sense other than, I guess, the Patriots, the Bears, or the Chargers?
Yeah, it's funny looking back about a week ago, the report came out that the Panthers themselves, you know, said, you know, we're allowing Cam Newton to seek a trade. He came back, said, this wasn't on me, this wasn't my decision, all that stuff. And after that happened, we had another article on our site, and the three teams we mentioned as trade targets were the Patriots, the Bears, and the Chargers. And, of course, those are the two teams they did try to trade him to, as well as the team that we think would be the best fit. So it's kind of all worked out again in terms of just looking where it made sense. The Bears now with Nick Foles in the mix, probably out, you'd think. What are they going to have, Mitch Foles? And that is a good crowded QB room. I mean, at least more talent than some of the past ones they've had, but still don't see that fitting. So yeah, outside of the Patriots, the Chargers have a little over 24 million cap space, plenty to sign Cam. I'm sure he's not going to be going over anything like that after getting released, where the Carolina couldn't even find a trade partner for him. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense, like you said, in terms of their offense. You talk about it, also a franchise here in Los Angeles that is trying to, you know, leave its imprint and actually build up a fan base. Having a superstar face like Cam Newton, who's going to obviously sell more tickets. I think easily if they sign him, some of these season tickets that aren't going off the shelves as quickly as they are for the Rams are going to probably start being bought with that kind of name. And those jersey sales are going to be great as well. Such just a lovable guy and big name. So in terms of that part of it for the Chargers, in addition to the actual football wise, like, this is a Charger team that we think, I feel like every year, let alone since we've started this podcast, that has a good amount of talent. So why not throw them in the mix? Like you said, with Anthony Lynn, what they're trying to do could fit in better as well. So yeah, outside of the Patriots, the Chargers definitely looking like an interesting team. But the fact that that Justin Herbert kind of number six with the number six pick feels like that's going to happen as well. So the Chargers have a decision to make. And I think, it depends how much they want to kind of go all in now, or they could get real crazy and, you know, do both.
Yeah, that's true. You think about that, they could do both. And I think one of the advantages of him going to the Chargers is that, I mean, all the questions have been about his arm strength. Well, you've got a pass catching back in Austin Ekeler, probably one of the best in the NFL. Where you can probably do some things on offense having a guy like that, where you're not having to necessarily throw the ball 50 yards down the field, even though they do have Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and guys like that. But I don't know. Maybe that's, I think if we make a prediction right now, like I would say it's probably going to be the Chargers. Because, and again, there may be someone we're not thinking about, but we pretty much know it's not going to be the Redskins at this point. They traded for Kyle Allen. I mean, you know, Ron Rivera already has one of his former quarterbacks there. I just seems highly unlikely they're going to bring in Cam. Why would they trade for Kyle Allen? If that was going to be the case. And then, like you said, with the Bears, I mean, they have Nick Foles. What's worse than a you know, rotating two quarterbacks in and out? It's rotating three quarterbacks in and out. And I think that would make Bears fans even more frustrated. I mean, it's just, you know, where else would it be? And I don't know that there's any other spot that makes sense for him to compete for a starting job, right? I mean, because, look, I guess he could always be a backup. But, you know, and look, here's the question, too. And if healthy, maybe it's a different discussion, but it's like, think about this. Cam Newton or Jameis Winston right now? Like, which one makes more sense if you're a team that is going out and doing this? Because I think there are obviously questions on both sides, but it's like, I mean, doesn't Jameis still make a lot more sense for teams? Because, I mean, he at least showed that, you know, he can do a lot of good things. I know he did some bad things on the field, but it's like, you know, I don't know. What if that's a discussion that some of these teams are having? Maybe a different scenario because we know Cam wants to start, and it seems like Jameis at this point probably understands that he's not going to start unless he's just able to beat someone else out. So I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I feel like Jameis will end up more on a team that already has an established quarterback where it's clear he's not going to be playing unless absolutely needed. Whereas, yeah, for Cam, like you're saying, I like they have different pros and cons, too. Like the cons for Cam are all health-related, where the football-wise are, you know, the things are also pretty important for Jameis. But I, you know, maybe it makes more sense for more teams in the NFL right now to bring in a guy like Jameis in terms of what they already have at the quarterback position. I mean, if Cam is healthy and you're a team like the Redskins, we're talking about a team that has so many holes on the roster, it doesn't make sense if I'm a franchise that needs so many things to work on. Also, when you have a young QB you're trying to get reps with, to have a guy in and kind of take those away and kind of probably lead you to a couple more wins than you might need as you're trying to build out of the hole that franchise is in. So you have to find a team like the Chargers, or why they're such a great example, but that have talent, that do think they can win at this point, even if they do have a young quarterback that they do want to draft. Having a guy to help kind of bridge that gap would make sense. Try to look down other teams. I don't think the Broncos would be interested necessarily. But in terms of another young guy that you don't want to take away reps from, but a team that we think could be pretty decent otherwise. But Drew Lock did look good in those games, but it still wasn't, you know, the longest audition. But I'm just working through all the teams in terms of cap space. At a certain point, you get past a line where, you know, these teams probably won't be able to afford him unless Cam really wants to take a pretty big pay cut. I mean, he already is going to. Even more significantly. So the list dwindles quick and the Chargers just keep coming up when I look at it. Otherwise, you know, I don't know where else he's going to go and not, you know, at least be competing for a job. I mean, the Bengals obviously are going to, unless something dramatic changes, are going to have Joe Burrow. And even if they do keep Andy Dalton, I think for them, it's a separate conversation. I think that might be a good idea to bridge the gap for Burrow, if Andy is okay with staying there and then hitting free agency after another year, possibly starting for Cincinnati. We'll see what happens, but they don't really make sense. Jacksonville looks like they're pretty set after trading Foles, and the rebuild is completely on full force with all the trades they've made. So it really wouldn't make sense for them to try to win more games. So yeah, the list cuts down pretty quickly.
Yep, it does. And while Jameis and Cam are still looking for places to play, you don't have to look for anywhere to play because BetOnline is there for you. And while currently there is no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you may think there's nothing to bet on. As we continue to say, you would be wrong. We don't like telling you you're wrong, but you are in this case if you think there's nothing to bet on, because our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of sports, events, and games to wager on. You can let them bring Vegas to you with their online casino and blackjack. They're all open 24 hours a day, all online, including their $750,000 poker series. So if you're into props and entertainment betting, you can also bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, the stock prices, and even the weather, a favorite of Dylan and I's when it comes to betting at BetOnline. Just visit their website and join today to receive a 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. So be sure to use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, BLUEWIRE, at BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Really, Dylan, besides Cam, not a whole lot going on free agency-wise. I know Robbie Anderson signed with Cam's former team, the Panthers. We had been waiting on Robbie Anderson. We weren't sure, but we thought the fit may make sense because he did play for Matt Rhule at Temple. Ndamukong Suh is back with the Bucks. Von Bell going to the Bengals. Maybe it's sort of an underrated offseason for the Bengals in terms of what they've been able to do, and also thinking that they're going to draft Joe Burrow. Just some of the other signings that are out there as the dogs here continue the puppy bowl outside of the office here.
Yeah, those are good signings for a team that obviously a long way to go, but I mean, it starts now. You can't anytime you can bring in a good football player for a pretty affordable contract, it's not a bad thing. So yeah, Cincinnati making some decent moves, like you're saying, and excited to just see. Hopefully, though, they won't be on this same kind of level as previous years, where I mean, last year especially, we watched that game against the early on in the season against the Seahawks in Week One.
We were all in after Week One. Looks like they're going
to do something. Yeah, so I do think it'll be interesting to see what they do. But I mean, yeah, their rebuild. I mean, there's no better time than starting them now, and we saw that kind of with Miami last year. So maybe they'll have some improvement like that. But on the other hand, yeah, for Ndamukong Suh, pretty big in my opinion for what that. I mean, they're for the Buccaneers. They had one of the best run defense in the NFL. I think actually just first in regular statistics. I'm not sure if they're first in DVOA, but they're definitely top five or six. So just adding, keeping him there, he just plugs those gaps. And he really, I mean, from the year he was with the Rams, where not his best season, but you kind of could tell last year he really focused more on actually his responsibilities and not trying to do too much. And really that defensive line, keeping that whole group together is going to be pretty important for Tampa Bay as they try to compete in, like we said, a really tough division and the conference overall. And then for Robbie Anderson, I mean, yeah, a great get for Carolina. I'm glad that he also got a pretty decent contract, you know, after initially the market seemed like it wasn't really there for him. So I think it works out well in his case, and we'll see. I mean, there were people right after that happened talking about maybe Curtis Samuel being shopped because of the signing, but it sounds like, at least from the limited rumors that I could find, that he's not going to be traded. So pretty interesting receiving group there. I think DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel as a guy that in different fantasy leagues owned both of them. Pretty underrated players when you just watch them and what they can do. I'm excited to see what that Matt Rhule offense looks like, even if Carolina still has some other issues in that division to overcome in 2020.
Speaking of Panthers, former Panthers receiver Devin Funchess, now with the Packers, that's one that maybe, you know, maybe hard to get a read on at this point. We had a feeling the Packers were going to, you know, maybe go after a receiver of some sort. I know Robbie Anderson was one we had tried to tie to them, seemingly going back to when they, you know, I guess the rumors were they were going to try to trade for him. That was during the season, but picking up Devin Funchess, I mean, I guess, you know, we know what he can be, and it's interesting. I guess we're talking about Devin Funchess and Cam in the same sort of episode, because we can remember back, you know, when those two were connecting, doing really good things for the Panthers. Now, you know, it's like we mentioned the Cam stuff. I guess with Devin Funchess, it's a matter of seeing, you know, you're surrounded by one of the best quarterbacks in the game. That's going to help, and, you know, maybe an interesting fit for Devin Funchess in Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, for the Packers, yeah, like you said, we talked about Robbie Anderson. We had a rumor article about how they also pursued Emmanuel Sanders. Those guys kind of fit maybe a little more into what I would have envisioned for that number two receiver role of a burner that can kind of just separate deep with Aaron Rodgers still being an elite deep ball passer in the NFL. Devin Funchess, a much different guy. It definitely isn't the big, quite bulky tight end looking dude as he has been in some previous years, but we'll see how he does. It's, I mean, a good situation to be in. I mean, it's certain flashes of him. I know really it's been a few years since he really was that good, like you're talking about with Carolina. So good start. I mean, if you're from his point of view, it's a great place to land in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, with that offense, what they were able to do last year. And yeah, we'll see what the Packers do moving forward. I still think in the draft, there's no reason they can't try to target at some point another receiver to really build up that room. Like we, you know, last year, a lot of times it was just Davante Adams. And then some names that, I mean, guys like Alan Lazard did play quite well, and guys did step up. Geronimo Allison, certain games, Scantling other games, but overall they didn't have that like established number two. So I still think they need to find someone. I'm not sure if Funchess answers that bell completely, but at least it gives them another option that they can rely on for this next season.
Yeah, lots of wide receiver targets. We've talked about how good this wide receiver group is in the draft, and you know, you could see the Packers being one of those teams. Matt LaFleur is an offensive guy, so you could see them you know, making a trade, trying to move up to get someone. One of these guys, but we'll see what happens there with the Packers. But before we wrap up, since we are contractually obligated to mention Tom Brady, we have to in every episode. I think that's just the rule. He did have his press conference with the Bucks, his first one, of course, like all press conferences, a little bit unique, done you know, not in person with the press there. It was more done on a remote basis. Not really a lot, you know, and you talked about that before we started recording. It was a Tom Brady press conference. You just got what you figured you were going to get. He was excited. He likes, you know, the direction of the Bucs. He knows that he's got some weapons to work with there. And when asked about the Patriots, quite honestly, he just really didn't really have much to say. He just deflected everything about the Patriots, because we know Tom Brady's not one to outwardly just throw, you know, a team under the bus that he spent 20 years mm-hmm. with. And I think anyone who was expecting that, just, I don't know why, because we knew that wasn't going to happen. But really, he basically just said, you know, he appreciated everything for the Patriots. He's, you know, it's a new start for him. And quite honestly, mm-hmm. there wasn't a whole lot more to it than that.
Yeah, I mean, even early in Tom Brady's career, if you look at interviews in that first Super Bowl run, the dude was already prepped for the media in terms of how yeah. clean his answers come across. There's no controversial remarks, rarely ever made. And if they are, they're not necessarily controversial, but more fiery and kind of, you know, sparked from his passion for football. And a lot of the big quotes that we take from Brady, you think about, are on the field when he's mic'd up, right? They're not really from these press conferences too often. So, yeah, not surprised. He didn't dive into much of the Patriots stuff. That would have been interesting, obviously. But I mean, I think as we've learned over the past few years since that started coming out, you know, about how he wasn't pleased with him possibly being shot to the 49ers, and the same time that they ended up trading Garoppolo in 2017, all the things that we hear and the behind the scenes are you know, going to be sourced. Brady, Belichick, Kraft, none of these guys are going to talk about that kind of stuff. So not surprised from that end. But yeah, in terms of just for the Tampa Bay Bucks, I mean, all the reasons, you know, that we looked at it making sense seem to be what Tom and was talking about in terms of all the weapons and how excited he is in this offense, what he's gonna be able to do. So yeah, if you're a, you know, a Buccaneers fan that's really been suffering through all these last you know, 12 years since you made the playoffs, it's got to be really exciting. I know there's some videos of Bucs fans that are just not Tom Brady fans, but they were incredibly yeah. pleased about the idea. But I think once they see him on the field and they start winning some football games, that's going to change. And I do think, just in terms of the accountability it's going to bring, and not that Bruce Arians can't establish a culture, we've seen what he did in the past, and especially in Arizona, but also as a part of some of those Steeler teams previously. I you know, adding Brady to that mix, it's going to just, everyone's going to be just locked in once they finally are able to practice. We'll see with the pandemic right now, when I know there's concerns about the season starting on time, but overall, once they get in the room together, in the locker room together, it's pretty clear that this guy is ready to, you know, not that he has an attack every season with his full 100% effort, but I think there's just something even more mentally, that it's another challenge for Tom Brady. I mean, he's it's crazy for a guy that's won so many Super Bowls, won so many division titles, made so many straight AFC title games, to have things that are still motivating him. But I think this new challenge is going to be a kind of some fresh air for him. And yeah, he's clearly excited about it. That part, I mean, as much as the stuff about New England, you can tell he's not opening up. It did really seem genuine what he had to say about Tampa Bay and how excited he is.
Yeah, we'll see how many Bucks fans change their opinion of him when they're 9 months from now, when they're playing an NFC title game or something. I don't think they'll be rooting against Tom Brady at that point. But yeah, he's again, it was a good press conference. He said the things he thought he would say, and he is ready to get things started there with the Bucks. But that'll wrap it up. And Dylan, lots of great stuff going on over Clutch Points. We've mentioned some of the stuff that we've done here, looking at some of these signings in free agency. Were they good moves? Were they bad moves for some of these teams? Looking at how things could unfold for some of these star players that have signed, Tom Brady, Teddy Bridgewater, all the others as they go into the 2020 NFL season. So let everybody know where they can find all of that stuff.
Yeah, all of our written content you can find at points.com under the NFL section. We'll have, in addition to all the free agency follow-up that's still happening and all the guys that are still waiting to be landed, we'll cover all that, continue analyzing best landing spots. But pretty quickly, I think from here on, we're going to be diving in more into needs for teams after post-free agency and then looking more at the draft and what's available. All indications are the draft's still going to happen on time, even if it's just over Skype or something of that nature. But yeah, we'll have that all covered on Clutch Points under the NFL section. Then in the Clutch Points app as well, you can read all of our written and our audio content is available in the Clutch Points app in the NFL section. So you can listen to us there in addition to obviously all your Apple or anywhere else you listen to the podcast. So appreciate all the readers and anyone, new listeners that are still hanging on here, hanging out at home. I hope you're all doing well. And yeah, we'll just keep chugging forward.
Yep, for sure. Lots more stuff with the draft on the way, as we said. As of right now, the expectation is that the draft will go on as normal, you know, in terms of the date. It won't go on as normal in terms of the presentation, but should be fun in the draft. Lots of teams out there. Should be, you know, I don't think this changes anything probably with the draft in terms of the moves that we're going to see. Always excitement, as we know, and teams fill some needs as they get ready for the new season. But check all that stuff out at Clutch Points, and be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Thanks to the fine folks at Blue Wire and our sponsor Bet Online for all that they do. And we'll talk to you guys next time here on the Establish the Pass podcast.